Once I've been to meet our Savior. In times I've been to meet our Anchor. Be very sure, be very sure, be very sure, be very sure, your anchor holds and grips us solid.
I want to share this with you. On Wednesday evening, we were at Camden Baptist Temple in Kingsland, Georgia, and had probably one of the greatest encouraging nights that I've had in a long time.
Amen.
People get our radio station from the church I pastored in Florida, covered that area, and testimony after testimony,
yes,
of how God had blessed them and helped them through rough places in their lives.
Amen.
By listening to the radio station. One old black boy, just before he preached, said, I want to say something. God's going to choke me to death if I don't say it. He said, I was in jail up here at the county jail, and said the fellow that was in the room with him, in the cell with him, was going up the river. So he left him his Walkman. And he said he got to searching through that Walkman to find something. And he found I preached at 11:30 every day, and then at 5 o'clock every day, full-length message. And he said, I got to listening to Brother Larry. And God saved the old boy. And he'd been in that church for about 6.5 years. The preacher said he hadn't missed a service. And he was there rejoicing in what God had done for him.
Amen.
A lot of times you think you've never accomplished anything. And I mean there were folks all over the congregation.
Amen.
Testifying to that truth as to how they'd been blessed. And I'll tell you right now, when you get down a little bit, God knows how to encourage you, doesn't he?
Amen.
And I'm grateful to God that somewhere along the road, we've been able to help somebody.
Yes.
And I'm sure that when we get to the other shore, there'll be a lot of folks who'll rejoice because somehow God used the means,
yes,
that he put on our hearts some numbers of years ago and blessed a multitude of people. Time after time, Brother Jerry Mundy had made the statement that the radio station there at Nassau Baptist Temple was the greatest Southern gospel radio station in America. And I don't doubt that that was so. We did things right, had some of the finest DJs you ever heard in your life. Matter of fact, one of them was here on, Wednesday night before last now. And we just rejoice in the Lord for what he's done. Sister Angie's dad and mom were the managers of the radio station. And Brother Carlos and Sister Sarah did a great job in managing the station. And then he even went up and managed the station in Reidsville for us for a time. And then Sister Dawn and Brother Greg, whom Dawn was here, I said, a couple of weeks ago, were managers up there then and did a terrific job. I'm hoping that someday you'll hear her voice from one of the gospel stations here. Because I promise you this right now, she is an asset to any circumstance. She's just top notch. That being said, let's open our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. I want you to remember that these are the end times. And Paul makes it very plain that in the end times, some things are going to happen that will mark that time. Now, if you have any sense of what's going on around you tonight, you can't read these texts without understanding that you are in the end time.
Right.
We're there.
Yeah.
We're not going to get there. We're already there.
Yeah.
Now, here in chapter number 4 of 1 Timothy, now the Spirit, now remember, it is the Spirit. We're dealing with the Holy Ghost teaching the modern church the things that we need to know. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly or distinctly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What a picture of modern society. What a picture of the modern church.
Yes.
For the most part. Here is the warning. The warning comes again in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Times when men are uneasy. Times when there's no rest. The mind just can't settle back long enough to rest because of what's taking place in the world.
Yes.
The prophet Daniel tells us that men would perish because of those things, worrying about those things that are happening in the world. Here we are. Now, last week, we began to explore some of these sins that are mentioned here. So we moved from the warning to the wickedness of this particular thing. And that goes for some time. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here tonight, maybe. I don't know. I'll just say this. We're going to mention these things and try to move on. If we don't get to do that, that'll be fine too. Brother Gary said a while ago he wasn't in a hurry. I'm not in a hurry either. Matter of fact, some time back I was in a church and they'd sang for about an hour and 15 minutes and the preacher said, Brother Larry, said, we hate to move in on your time. I said, oh, no, sir.
No,
no sir.
No.
You didn't move in on my time. I'm going to take my time.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Next night they didn't sing that long. We move now to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy and begin to note, we moved down through a number of these things on last week. I want to pick it up, if I may, at verse number 2. Let me just read the text, however. For men shall be lovers, I'm in verse 2, lovers of their own selves. Would you say that's so?
Oh, yes.
Covetous. Everyone wants more. Give me more. Give me more. Give me more. Give me more. It's a strange thing. When we were making $3 and $4 an hour, we got along as well as we're getting along now, making $30 and $40 an hour.
Amen.
You know why that's so?
Yeah.
Covetousness. The more you make, the more the man up the line's going to get.
Yeah.
Because he's covetous just like you are. Hello?
Yeah.
Amen.
Now we're moving the minimum wage to $15 an hour in most places across the country. That just means a hamburger went up to $8 a piece. That's the little ones. And the drinks are going to go to about $4 or $4.50. That's all it means. That's just covetous, one thing adding to another. As a matter of fact, in most places, I wouldn't care if the hamburgers went to $150 a piece. I wouldn't be there anyhow.
Amen.
So here we are, boasters. Look what I've done. We talked about that. Proud. Multitudes of people proud beyond measure. Blasphemers. The word blasphemers means that they are audible about their denial of truth.
Yes.
It has to do with the mouth speaking out loud. Astrologos is actually the word, and it literally means that it is without any belief, yet declaring that it's not so. I heard a man on the radio yesterday say there is no God. Moses went on the mountain and had some ideas. Here was his word, some good, some bad. And he came back down and presented them to the people. And rather than saying, I had this idea, he said, God gave me this because that would lend more credence to what he had come up with. Well, that fellow was 68 years old, according to what he said. It won't be long till he'll be a believer in the Lord God Almighty.
Yes, sir.
He'll know for sure, but it's going to be too late for him.
Yep.
Unless God moves on his heart before then.
Amen.
Disobedient to parents. Isn't it strange that children now rule the roost?
Yes.
When you see an unruly child, you see an unruly parent.
Amen. Exactly.
You see a parent that is not obedient to God and willing to let the children be hellions rather than correct them.
You're right.
God didn't give you children to raise them as hellions. He gave you children to raise them as children.
Right.
Train up a child in the way he should go. If you'll do right by him, God will do right by you and keep his promise. And when those children, as they are growing old, let me help you right here. Look up here at me. Preachers quote that verse of scripture, and mom and daddies quote that verse of scripture, and here's how they say it. They say, well, now you see, the Bible says that if you train up a child in the way he should go, when he gets old, he's not going to depart from that. But that's really not what the text says. The text says, while he is growing old, he will not depart from it. You see, parents use that text as an excuse for their inability to train the child.
Yeah.
Amen. Hello?
True.
And their unwillingness to train the child. That's free, didn't cost you anything. Unthankful. This is the most unthankful generation that God has ever let see daylight.
Amen. Amen.
Just watch the average person go into a restaurant, sit down, and start eating. Never, never think to thank God. Well, I'm embarrassed to do so. Well, maybe he'll be embarrassed to fool with you.
Yeah.
If you're ashamed of me, he said he'd be ashamed of you.
Yeah.
But if you confess me before me, and I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven.
Amen.
I think I'd rather confess him before men.
Yeah.
Once in a while, it's a blessing to do that. Let me tell you what happened to me a while back. I was in a restaurant, got my food, sat down, bowed my head, prayed. And when I got up to pay the bill, the little gal said, don't worry about it. Somebody's already paid.
Amen.
Said, they saw you bow your head over and pray.
Yes.
And they paid your bill.
Yes, sir.
So I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to do it every time.
Amen.
Unholy. This word unholy literally means without any semblance of godliness. Turning from anything godly rather than turning to the things that are godly. Without natural affections. Now, let me hang right here a minute. Oft times, by the way, now there are several texts that deal with the perversion that's taking place in our land tonight. This one doesn't. This text is speaking about not having natural love for your kindred. I talk with folks and meet with folks all the time, and their problem is they don't love their own families. I don't understand that. I really don't. Listen, we grew up loving each other. We're old fellas now and we still love each other. There's four of us boys still alive and we still love each other. Now, I won't lie to you, we tried to kill each other when we was growing up, but we did it in Christian love.
Sure.
We love each other.
Yes.
I love my boy. Yes. My boy loves me. I love my daughter. My daughter loves me. I love my wife, and sometimes she loves me.
Yes.
As long as I'm doing what she wants me to do, she loves me a little bit. But without natural affection, I don't understand why people don't love their own kindred.
True.
Why they don't love their own womb fellows, brothers and sisters of a natural sort.
Yes.
Now let's haul this thing off to the other side of the fence. Loving a dog or a cat, or several of them. Hello, rather than children. I don't mind telling you, if you have a dog and you've been married more than a year and don't have a child and you're loving that stinking dog, you're guilty. Hello? And if you've got a cat within 30 miles of your house, your rifle's stuck. You need to clean the barrel. Set the sights. God help us.
Right.
Loving animals more than we love our children.
Beautiful.
More than we love our families.
Right.
Without natural affection. It's an epidemic.
Yes, it is. For sure.
When I counsel with young people before they were married and old people as well, I married some old folks. A couple came to me one time and said, "Brother Larry, will you marry us?" I said, "You are married." They said, "Yeah, but we got divorced. We want to get married again." I said, "Well, have you made up your mind that this is how you're going to do it since you've already been married and lived for 50 years that way, got divorced now for about a year and a half, and you're going to get married again?" But listen to me. When I counsel folks to marry, I told them the purpose of marriage is procreation. You're supposed to have children. Not varmints. Rather than having children, they'll go buy a stinking dog and move it into the house.
Amen.
First off, a dog in the house is a filthy house. "Oh, but Brother Larry, I'm real clean." A dog house is not a house. Get your dog out of the house. If a cat's in the house, you got a hairball. Not just the cat. So the next time you go to the doctor, you tell him, I need something to get this out of me. Without natural affection. Truce breakers. Making a deal and backing out. Giving your word and not following through. I wonder how many folks are guilty here. False accusers. How sad. How sad. Let me tell you something. What you need to do is to keep your mouth shut, even if you know it's so. Why do you want to carry it on? The only time your mouth ought to be open is when you're eating and when you're dead.
Amen.
Otherwise, keep it shut. God gave you two ears and one mouth. He meant for you to listen twice as much as you talk. You'd be wise to do that. Don't accuse folks of doing things. It's not necessary. Not necessary. If you see someone doing something wrong, speak to them. If you're their friend, talk with them. Tell them about it.
Yes.
But don't tell the neighbor.
Right. Amen.
Down through the years, people have put things into my ears that'll go with me to my grave. I'll never mention it. My wife has often said, what was that all about? Can't tell you.
Amen.
People have gone to her through the years. She don't tell me, I don't ask her. Listen, my head's full of enough junk, I don't need any more in there.
Right.
And I don't know if you've noticed or not, you don't either.
Right.
Bless you, Lord.
We need to keep that garbage out of our head. We don't need to know everybody's business.
Right.
I about got to the point where I despise somebody saying Facebook. Man, you don't have any privacy anymore. Everywhere you go, somebody saw you, put it on Facebook. I'm not on Facebook unless somebody else puts me there. There are two reasons for that. Number one, I like my privacy. None of your business what I'm doing. Number two, I don't have the mental capacity to put up with that and do what I have to do otherwise.
Amen.
Hello. Yeah. Let me add the third one. I don't have time for that junk.
Right.
I don't understand how people have that much time when they don't have time to go to church, when they don't have the time to do anything godly, when they don't have time to wash clothes, hello, clean the house, cook the meals, but they can be on Facebook. I can just about assure you that if somebody's on Facebook for a lot of time during the day, don't go in the house. Hello.
Hello.
If you're guilty, clean your house and quit fooling with Facebook.
Amen.
Despise, well, I'm not there yet. Hang on. incontinent,
yes,
without self-control,
right,
inability to control the lust. You see, your natural lusts are there for a purpose. God put it there.
Yes, sir. He did.
But He also gave you control. But there are those who move outside the realm of that control and allow themselves to go wild, satisfying their lust. The news has been full of a man guilty of that in Hollywood. He's not the only one. The whole blessed outfit's guilty.
Amen.
But it's not just in Hollywood. It's in the pews of our churches,
right,
as well. Fierce a temper that's uncontrollable. Anyone have a bad temper? Now, I don't mind telling you, there was a day, my wife will tell you, there was a day that I had a bad temper. But after some of my training, I realized if that temper stayed with me and my training, I'd be killing people every day of my life.
Yeah.
And I had to back off of that temper. But I had to go to somebody bigger than myself,
oh, yeah,
to ask His help.
Oh, yeah.
And I laid it all before the Lord. And God took that away.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, my wife often says, "How did you become so mellow?" My daughter often says, "Where is my daddy?" God will help you get rid of that temper.
Yes, He will.
It's like He'll help you get rid of a lot of other things. Despisers of those that are good. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Buddy, this is rampant in our society. It controls the news media,
yes,
and it controls politics,
yeah,
in America.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right.
Despising the good, loving the bad.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you without apology that there's bad on both sides.
Yes.
But there's one side that just seems to despise everything that is anywhere near good.
Yeah. Amen.
Ask your mama who that is. Traitors. What happened to patriotism?
Yeah, my soul.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a statement here. I've been in trouble more than one time for making statements like this, and I'm going to make it. If they come after me, you can just tell them he said it. And if they want to hear me say it, I'll say it again.
Amen.
90% of the garbage that's going on in America tonight is going on because of the last 8 years of a man in the White House causing people to despise the authority in this country. Now, you're welcome. If you want your dollar back, you're welcome to it, as far as I'm concerned. So, well, I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, I don't like your kind of thinking. You need to gear up, get your head straight, and realize this contributed muchly so to what's going on today. A man in authority should never jump to conclusions about the police.
True.
Now there's hellions there just like there are anywhere else.
True.
But the authority that goes with that position surely demands a little bit more than trailer park thinking.
Amen.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Traitors, heady. This word heady means going headlong into whatever they're going into. Not thinking, just putting your head down and going on.
Yep.
Reminds me of a bull. You've heard of a bull in a china shop?
Yep.
You ever see anybody that just acts like a bull in a china shop? Don't ever stop to think, just stick their head down and go. We need to learn to think. We bill ourselves as the most educated age known to God and man, and we act stupid.
Right.
Not ignorant, stupid. There's a difference.
Yeah.
This thing of being high-minded, self-conceited, it's what it entails. Look what I can do. I meet people all the time. You mention something and they've done it twice and got three t-shirts.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Mention somewhere. Oh yeah, I've been there. Been there. They may have went there on a virtual tour on television, but they've been there. Do you get the picture?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, just as a little candid situation. How many of you know somebody like that? Put your little darling hand up. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Been there twice, at least. Lovers of pleasure. More than lovers of God. Man, couldn't we stay there for a while? I preached to people for 40 years. They'd come to church on Sunday morning and stay home on Sunday night to watch a stinking ball game. Stay home on Wednesday night to watch some kind of a Western. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. They'll testify and talk about how much they love the Lord, and when it comes time to be in the house of God, they're somewhere else.
Yeah.
Down by the creek bank and the old hollow log. Out falling Fido in the woods. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Don't tell me you love the Lord and miss the assembly. Hello?
Yes,
amen.
There's a passage of scripture that is so maligned and misused, and Mr. Schofield is one of the progenitors of the misunderstanding of this text. Open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 10. Verse number 23 says this, and I'm going to read a few verses, so stay with me. Hebrews 10:23. Now you need to put a little pencil mark here and there in this and listen carefully to what the text says. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, For he's faithful that promised. You be faithful because he's faithful. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not to hatred and envy, but to love. Not to be lazy, but to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Even in Paul's day, there were those who were forsaking the assembly, but exhorting one another, telling one another, you ought to be in the house of God. Let's go to the house of God. And so much the more, as you see the day approaching, if we really believe Jesus is coming, we ought to be encouraging folks to be in the house of God. If we really believe Jesus is coming, we ought to be in the house of God.
Yes.
Watch this. How many of you have a Scofield Bible in your hand? You see the paragraph mark here, the beginning of this verse. That's a disservice to the Scripture, because it changes the thought from what's being said to what's going to be said. That's wrong. This is all the same paragraph.
Yes.
The same thought. Watch it. Now he's been talking about forsaking the assembly. Now he says, for if we sin willfully. What is that willful sin that he just spoke of? Forsaking the assembly. If we sin willfully, after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Hang on. That means you pay for it.
True.
You're in debt to God. When you miss the assembly, you are in debt to a holy God, and he's going to collect.
Yes, amen.
No sacrifice, but a certain fearful looking far of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. He that despises Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite to the Spirit of grace. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, being sinned against in our forsaking of the assembly. Now here's that promise I made you a while ago. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge who?
His people.
Hello? Do you realize that maybe 2% of the church-going people in America know what that text says? And would you realize that maybe 0.5% of people in the church in America care what that verse says?
True.
When you forsake the assembly, You are committing a willful sin. And willful sin is going to bring the judgment of a holy God upon you. Let me tell you how most people pay for it. In their children.
Yes, sir.
When you come along, mature a little bit, and realize, hey, I need to be in the house of God, your kids get to be teenagers, they're going to say, well, I'm not going. Now, why are they going to say, I'm not going? Because you didn't go. My big old boy is sitting back there tonight. There was never a question where we were going Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, during protracted meetings and so on. There was never a question.
Right.
And I never once, now your mama may have, but I don't even know that you ever said in your life, I'm not going. You didn't say it in my hearing. Now listen to me carefully. It's a dangerous thing to go against this New Testament command.
Yes.
Well, I don't think going to church is all that important. Well, God does. God does. And if God thinks it's important, He's going to teach you that it's important. You're going to learn that it's important. It may be too late for you when you learn, but you're going to learn that it's important.
Right.
If God thought so much of it that He put that kind of verbiage in your Bible, then I think if I were you, I'd move everything out of my way and make arrangements to be in the house of God when the doors are open.
Right.
You need to study that text.
Right.
And forget that little paragraph mark that Mr. Schofield put in there. Because it does not belong in there. As a matter of fact, the English language declares that it is not in there. If you know anything about the English language, all you've got to do is read the text. See the conjunctions? Hello? You don't put a paragraph marker where there is a conjunction. That conjunction ties it to the sentence or the rest of the thing beforehand and thereafter until the thought ends.
Right.
It's a great disservice. And I appreciate Mr. Schofield and his work, but that's the place that he missed it in the Scriptures. And as far as I know, one of the only places that he missed it. Let me do this. What time is it? This thing did. Don't matter about most of you folks, and it don't matter to you. I promise you it don't matter to me. Oh. Now just hang on. We got 10 minutes to run this mule on down the track. Get in here with me now. Here's something we can get into: having a form of godliness. You see that? Get a hold of this text. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Get away from it.
Yes.
From such, turn away. The modern church doesn't have enough Holy Ghost power to blow the fuzz off a rabbit snout. Before God Almighty, my brother preaching this morning, talking about Jesus Christ leaving us the power. All power, he said, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now we're to go with that power. But rather than going with that power, you see, the church has grieved the Holy Ghost. And he's silent. So what they must do now, in order to mimic the power of God, they go through all of this jargon. I want you to do something with me. Turn back to the book of Mark. Look at... Well, let's look at verse number 22 of chapter number 13. Mark 13, 22. Now, this is our Lord speaking. Here's what he said. Let me just do this. Look at verse 19. For in those days shall be afflictions, such as were not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. By the way, if you do not believe election, and you think it is choice only, Jesus lays you in the dust right here. Elect, chosen, one and the same. And then... if any man shall say to you, here, lo, is Christ, or lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. Now, what's that outfit doing? They're saying, here's the Lord, there's the Lord, over here's the Lord. Shake your head, let the BBs go where they're supposed to go, and realize that outfit's pulling your chain. Now, hang on. Get a hold of this. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise. Watch it. And shall shew signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. So, we're dealing with this thought of having a form but denying the power. So they give themselves, watch my words, over to demons, and demonic power helps them to work miracles, hello, and show signs, hello, one more time. And it seduces the mind of people. And guess what? They flock to it like flies to a rotten snake. Now, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I'm just pulling it out to make you think of it and realize what it is. That crowd on Mount Carmel, 800 of those prophets, crying out to Baal, going through all their antics. They had fooled a multitude of people, even the rulers of the land.
Yes, sir.
But when it came to a match between Baal and the God of glory, all day long, they went through their antics, cut themselves, throwed themselves on the altar, done everything they thought they could do to get Baal to answer. He didn't answer. But the man of God, not only did he build the altar, but he wet it down.
Yes, sir.
Not just once.
Right.
He made sure it was drenched. And then he prayed a little simple prayer. And the fire of God came down and consumed the offering, consumed the altar, consumed the water. But the whole crowd was following that other bunch. Does that make sense to you today? The whole crowd's following that other bunch. The entertainment outfit. That outfit that's never going to tell you the truth because they don't want you to know the truth. They want to keep you in bondage to some law, some ritual. Listen, honey, if the blood of Jesus Christ is not enough to keep you out of hell, you won't stay out of hell.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
But it's the blood of Christ, that alone. Not our efforts, not our adding to's, but the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This outfit of religion has doomed a multitude of souls and will continue to do so until Jesus comes. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is just going to be huddled together more and more as we see the day approaching.
Right.
Jesus said it, they will. When he said, when I return, shall I find faith on the earth? The sad thing is that there's little faith in this world tonight. There's few folks who really believe God. Oh, they believe some kind of religious shenanigan, but they don't believe God. They believe in going through some kind of a ritual, but they don't believe God. If men believed God, our churches would be full. We wouldn't see these empty chairs in this building tonight. But men don't believe God. They don't believe Hebrews chapter 10 is a reality. They're convinced that it's talking to somebody else. Well, you better read it again. Read it again and again. And ask God to let you see that. And when you see that, you'll move a lot of things to be in the house of God when you ought to be there. Not because the preacher said so, because God said so.
Yes.
Let me give you this and I'm finished. Some years ago, I was speaking with a family and they'd been missing church quite often on Sunday night. And I asked them why. they were missing church. And she said, Brother Larry, said, all these children just keep us from being able to go to church. I said, who gave you those children? The Lord gave him. I said, do you think God is going to give you something to keep you from being obedient to Him?
Right. Amen.
I didn't get an answer. But Sunday night there's in church. Next Sunday night there's in church. Next Sunday night there's in church. And there's in church every Sunday night and Sunday morning and Wednesday night for as long as I could remember. God will not give you something to keep you from being obedient to Him. So if you have something that's keeping you from being obedient to Him, guess where it came from?
Hell.
You might as well think it over. Don't give that a Sunday school thought. Give that a real thought.
Right.
Father, thank you again for your precious word.
Be very sure your anger holds and grips us solid.